You're very welcome back to the programme. Thanks to Declan, Antoinette and Cathy again for the contribution over the course of the first hour. Special thanks to all of you who have taken the time to get in touch with us as well. Kathleen on Facebook on the matter of uniforms, school uniforms. Kathleen says, uniforms get children or get kids ready for the working world. Yeah, indeed. Charlie, as it relates to the unrest, all this unrest is taking the pressure off the government with regards to the real issues. I mean, there's just no doubt about that because a lot of the conversation is about civilians and not government policy, it seems. So, how about the school provide the logo and the parents sew it on to specified colour off-the-shelf clothes? 100%. Because, you know, even at the lower level, say NINRA or what have you, I mean, obviously some of them have logos and such, but you've seen the centre aisle shops selling uniforms effectively for a fiver. You know, I mean, it's all just material. It's all just clothes. They're not fancy. Why not have generic uniforms where we can iron on or sew on the badge? That's what most parents want. They want affordable. They don't mind the uniform. They don't mind the logos. They just want them to be affordable. Uniforms don't stop the quest for designer trainers or shoes. Non-uniform schools, of which there's one in Letterkenny, do work well as parents don't have to cough up for very expensive uniforms. Actually, that's a voice we don't actually hear too often. Maybe you are the parent or guardian of someone at a non-uniform school. Do you like it that way or would you prefer to see uniforms introduced? That's an interesting cohort, actually, that are seeing the other side of it. As it relates to designer trainers' shoes, I do get where you're coming from, but it was mandated in Iron School that it had to be black. So that kind of limited the expense options, if you know what I mean. Greg, it's only a matter of time before the same happens here as is happening in Britain and Belfast. There is an election coming, so get prepared for another shift in government policy. They know this is a big issue and it's not far-right extremists that are annoyed and frustrated. It's ordinary people. The only people in favour of current policy are those who are making millions or using the migrants to get elected. Another, this is the bias. There is a bias in this panel. Have we forgotten what happened to Aisling Murphy? And of course, we will never forget what has happened to Aisling Murphy, nor will I forget the dozens of women that have died in this county at the hands of violent partners from this country, nor will I forget all of the other women, too, in the last week alone that have been murdered down the country by men from Ireland. And this is not Irish men are bad. That's not what I'm saying either. But I certainly haven't forgot about Aisling, but I'm not so blinded whereby I would not see that it's not a race problem or a background problem. It's a man problem. It's us men that are doing this primarily to women, regardless of our background, and the majority are from here. People have not forgotten about the migrants that are here and are actually very good to them. But they are also very aware of how many are economic migrants. Our government needs to step up and help the genuine and sort out the mess it created in housing and health. Simple indeed. And there's a cohort of people who are from a different country, either first or second generation, and they've lived here a long time. They may also have concerns about pressures on services and what have you. Okay, so that's a group of people out there that we don't really hear from, but they may well have those views. There are a lot of faceless, nameless people in high places and government departments doing a whole lot of harm to the Irish people in health and housing and education. They're not being held accountable, so no wonder the rioters and demonstrators and their leaders are learning well from them. It's very important for us, and great changes were made in this country. I'm thinking recently the protest down at Letterkenny University Hospital for the provision of a stroke ward. You know, hundreds of people attended that for a very good reason. You'll remember 30-odd, maybe even more people marched through the streets of Dublin to improve the situation as it relates to those affected by concrete blocks. It didn't go far enough for many, but it did result in change, and it was peaceful and it was powerful. The water charges, I mean, obviously there were, you know, there was some unrest in relation to that, but for the most part, people got out into the streets and affected real change themselves organically. They were talking about changes to the pension, and older people and their supporters got out in their hundreds of thousands around this country and achieved change and got their voices heard. That's good, isn't it? That's public protest. That's exactly, it's really important. And I would be a big fan of communities getting together and effecting change that way. But boarding up fire escapes and chucking things, petrol bombs and what have you, through the windows of buildings because someone's from a different country or was allowed in inverted commas, or attacking the homes of nursing or care staff, or attacking people just purely based on their colour, their businesses, burning them out of their businesses. That is not what we as a people protest, or how we protest and how we achieve things. And I see those as different things. You know, that's all I'm saying anyway. But the permanent government, who are faceless, nameless, lack accountability, something we talk about on this show all of the time, you're 100% right there as well. But there are mechanisms to get your voice heard in those regards as well. And we have seen that. Hi, Greg. There is no doubt that misinformation is being spread on social media. However, the panel suggesting that the government is the bastion of integrity is naive and misguided at best. The government was seen to be purposely misleading the electorate during the recent referenda. They have also misled the public on homeless figures by omitting those on HAP, the housing list, and those in direct provision. Currently, the Minister for Justice is misleading the public, stating that the hate speech bill is required, as she claims there's no legislation to deal with inciting violence. The Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act covers that. It is the blocking of real discussion and the allegations of racism, homophobia, transphobia, etc., that increase tensions and drives people towards far-right groups. 100%. And I've said that on the show a million times when we were discussing misinformation, disinformation. Who is the arbiter of that? Who decides what is real, what is not? Because we saw an article in the newspaper recently that quoted the government verbatim about misinformation, spreading misinformation. But it should also point out that, and I've said this before many times, there is a responsibility on political candidates, elected representatives, governments to tell the truth to the people as well. And we don't have to wait 30 years to find out what that truth was. So misinformation, disinformation can come from all quarters, not least the mainstream media and political circles. A caller says this is all about the desired total censorship of all information by the government. No one wants to talk about the root causes. The Gardaí want to tell you nothing about anything. There's no transparency. If the Gardaí came out immediately and truthfully told you the full and honest truth about a given situation, there'd be no issue about disinformation or misinformation on social media. But the issue there is that a lot of people saying, "Well, why is the person's identity not being in that awful stabbing? Why is the suspect's identity not being given out? The fix is in. They're trying to do this, that, and then." But the truth is, and this is the truth, whether you like it or not, maybe it should change, is that someone generally isn't named until they're charged. And secondly, the judge had to make a special decision to name the suspect because he was 17. That is the way the law works. Now, we can talk about changing that, but that is the law, and it protects you and it protects me as well. But it was weaponized to say that they're keeping it a secret for this, that, and then, when it's just the way it is. You can't name someone until they're charged. Right, okay. Hi, Greg. Can you ask your guests to give us some examples of misinformation and disinformation? Another, I don't know if your guests realise that the majority of people peacefully protesting are against the unlawful entry into the country, not the people who came legally to live and work. Ordinary people are struggling with health, housing, and it's on its knees, and the government is still adding to the pressure, and that's why the people are unhappy. 100%, and that point was made on numerous occasions. We're talking about two different groups of people, but it suits certain leaders of certain organisations to mix that all in, you know, and they themselves often are partners of people that came to this country. People with genuine concerns about immigration are automatically labelled right-wing, not on this programme. Immigrants, almost exclusively young males, are being bussed into areas in the dark of night. There's pressure on services and hospitals. People can't get doctor's appointments. And in the midst of an accommodation crisis, housing for migrants is found every time it is needed. Those points were made during the course of the panel discussion. Another, hearing your panel on crying about all social media. If it doesn't suit, delete account and stop crying about comments they get, etc. Well, my concern is my children, really, to be honest with you. I'm an old fart at this stage. I can't, you know, I mean, I can be influenced and whatever. But I mean, like, as I say, you know, I'm well past the halfway line. But I'm on about what kind of a society or a world that my boys are going to be growing up in. That's you know, whereby you can say whatever you like about anyone. Hate doesn't matter. You know, what you see now is, even if someone sort of accidentally gets killed, it doesn't matter because it's a means to an end and it's all part of the fight that's ongoing. And you see that stuff. And do we really want our children to... That's why I try and focus the conversation on how we get to the core issues and how we resolve that. Because this these polarized points of view are driving us down a horrible road for our children. As I say, for me, at this stage, it doesn't really matter. Suggesting with the school bus, why can't they walk 20 minutes from Blue Cedars to get the bus stop in McElhenney's in Ballybuffet? Full footpath, very wide. I had to walk it many times. Single parent with kids who've additional needs too. Nobody any different. Also on the private bus, siblings get great discounts. Okay. Real people need to be thought of who don't have homes. Donegal people who can't get a council house, a doctor's appointment or hospital beds because of immigration. Is it because of immigration, though? Like, is the historic pressures on Letterkenny University Hospital, is it because of immigration? The doctors themselves do say that a lot of their time is taking up dealing with immigrants, especially because of language issues. So doctors say that themselves, so that's quite legitimate. This country says we need our country back. Now, that's a phrase that I don't know what that quite means. So text me back in and tell me what you mean by that. And then they say, I'm fed up of being labelled as right-wing by people who are on big salaries. Okay, well, I'm not on a big salary and I'm not labelling you right-wing. So I don't know where that was directed, but hopefully not at me. All right, and on they come. Thank you so very much indeed. On a separate issue, and this is what we also need to be focusing our attention on and getting really angry about stuff like this as well. Because we spend a lot of time on what could happen, what might happen, what we think is happening, but this is happening, and it's something, as I say, we really should be up in arms about. A listener's 80 years of age. They need eye surgery. They've paid VHI for over 50 years, so you think they're covered, public or private, but this person has severe arthritis, and they're expected to get a bus or to get on a bus and travel to Sligo for eye surgery, as the machine at Letterkenny University Hospital is out of date. So, you know, that's a person there who might go, right, you know what, I'm not going to get the surgery. Right, okay, it is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Ireland's women, the 4x400 metres relay team, they've qualified for Saturday's Olympic final after finishing third in their semi-final heat on Friday morning. We will keep an eye on that, particularly for Lahey's Kelly McGrory. She ran in the semi-final on leg three. She was a preference over Lauren Cadden, so they're through to the final. But it seems that the local girl, our local girl, Kelly McGrory, might actually be swapped out for Ms. Adlecki in the final. But even if that is the case, and we hope it's not, for obviously for local reasons, she certainly was instrumental in getting to that team into the final. Right. Rena Weld is from Matrix Recruitment. Good morning, Rena.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Lovely to chat to you. Right. So, we read that many companies are now using AI-powered CV screening software to manage high volumes of job applications. Any fans of The Office might remember there was a big pile of CVs, and I think Brent picked up half of them and chucked them in the bin and said, if they're that unlucky, they don't deserve to be working here. This is slightly more sophisticated, I think.
Slightly more than that, yes, Greg.
Okay, so how are companies using AI to screen CVs?
So a lot of this is being used in medium to larger size companies to help them manage, you know, larger numbers of applications where they might have, you know, 20 plus vacancies open at one time and hundreds of applications and CVs coming in. So it is typically attached to what's called an ATS system or an applicant tracking system, which does as it sounds, you know, it tracks the job seeker's application through the recruitment process. The CV screening, then it is typically an algorithm and it will match, say, the CV, the keywords on the CVs to the keywords of the job.
So it's the first selection process, but some, you could say, savvy applicants are found maybe a way of gaining the system in relation to this.
Yes, a very clever hack that we've seen across social media, and that is where they'll copy and paste the keywords in the job description, put it onto their CV and put it into white font. So white writing, so the keywords, they may not have all of the experience, the job seeker, the job applicant, but because they're putting in the keywords of that job into white writing onto their CV, they believe then that it will get them past that first screening because AI can pick up on those keywords in white writing, but they're not necessarily visible to the human eye.
And do you think employers might see this as, you know, showing great initiative and it's clever and it's an advantage, or they might see it as sort of deception or trying to beat the system? Like, can this, do you think this potentially could backfire for applicants?
Personally, yes, I do. I mean, I see where you're coming from. They're very maybe tech companies or that they may see the benefit or the initiative behind it. But I think it will come down to the actual experience of that candidate, of the job applicant. Say, for example, I mean, we wouldn't necessarily be recommending it, and purely for job seekers' own confidence. So say, for example, if a job seeker applies for a position where they only have perhaps 10% of the criteria needed, and they get past the initial screening to, say, a first round interview solely based on these white words, you know, in my opinion, it's quite likely they'll be in an interview. They won't be able to answer the question based on their previous experience or their actual real life experience. And it won't help anyone's confidence in the long run.
I saw sort of in some of your writings on this that you're in favour of a more honest and transparent approach. And I would agree with you. The only issue I might have with that, though, Rena, is getting in front of a human to demonstrate that. Do you know what I mean? Because if the playing field is uneven as it is, you know, like, it needs to change, or your honest and transparent approach might not work because you might not get past that first hurdle.
Yes, and I completely understand what you're saying there. Nevertheless, if a job seeker is applying for a position where they have, say, 70% plus of the criteria needed, then what I'd say the most important thing to do would be to make sure the CV is clear. And I'm all for keywords, you know, definitely put in those keywords once you actually have the experience. Make sure the CV is typically a Word document, works quite well, but in a clear format. Matrix Recruitment do have CV templates on our website, you know, that can be downloaded and tweaked to the job seeker's own experience. And, you know, as well, for the record, Greg, I'm not saying that AI can't be used to help job seekers finesse their application, but really the information...
Be clever. Get those keywords actually into your document in a natural way, rather than padding it out with invisible to the human eye white text.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have that experience for the job, you should be putting in all those keywords. You should be getting across all of your experience that is relevant to the job. And, you know, you will. I always encourage people to tailor their CV to the job that they're applying for.
It's so important, isn't it? Because, you know, you do see CVs come in and you can see the work hasn't been put into them, or you can see the CV was for a completely different job where just a couple of things were changed, or job work experience, whilst it does show someone's, you know, commitment to work from an early age or what have you, it's not in any way tailored or fashioned to suit the role you're applying for. I think we can be lazy, can't we, with our CVs?
Yes, and I think when people are panicking and applying for loads of different positions, it becomes quite cumbersome to tailor to each position. But I would say is if people are comfortable with it, of course, now I'm not recommending it totally, it's ChatGPT, it's OpenAI, but if people themselves are comfortable, one way to take advantage of AI is to, you know, ask, say, ChatGPT, does my CV match this job? So it's not necessarily using it to hide the information, rather maybe check for typos or help them, you know, make sure that it's actually tailored to that position.
And you know, we are potentially heading into a position whereby, you know, we are seeing unemployment increasing. And sort of the jobs market seems to be, even in the world of AI at the moment, that potentially is an AI bubble that is about to burst, and that could have ramifications right across the tech sector. And we have many jobs in that sector in this country. So we don't know where we're going, but we are moving into a position whereby, you know, there might be more people for jobs, if you know what I mean, especially the right type of jobs. So we have to be really careful, don't we, when we're going through that application process.
Certainly, there has been a rebalancing within the market. There's still, you know, demand for skilled professionals. But yes, I would agree. I would say definitely that first point of your application, that is representing, your CV is representing you initially to the hiring manager, to the recruiter. So it is important to put work into it and get it right.
I love this. I wasn't aware of this. Firstly, I wasn't aware of this being used. But secondly, apparently, it's always been used. Because this caller says, Greg, I remember people doing this in college, not necessarily for CVs, but in college to reach the word count or to disguise plagiarism by putting in random words. So, hey, we've been finding ways. We've been finding ways to do this for a long, long time. Rena, if anyone wants more information about your company, Matrix Recruitment, it sounds very futuristic. I presume it's just search out Matrix.
We're ahead of the curve.
Exactly.
And we're embracing AI, you know, to help our clients and candidates.
So all right, search out Matrix Recruitment and people will see the info there. Isn't that right?
That's exactly.
And as
right.
you say, there's templates and advice and all that type of stuff. Take care of yourself, Rena. It's been lovely chatting to you this Friday morning.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much,
Bye.
Greg, for your time.
Bye-bye. Right, okay. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be joined by... I tell you, I don't know who I'm being joined by, if the truth be told. I presume it's Sean. Can I say that? Yeah, I don't know where he is. I don't know who's with him. And I don't really know what it's about. I've heard some jingles through the week, which would seem to indicate it might be the launch of something or other. I heard the word cash and that... at the end of an ad, which normally means it's on the way. So let's see. We'll take a break and see what's coming up. All right. If you're not watching the show, get on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or Facebook, or X for that matter, because we now go to a mysterious secret location and say good morning to Sean Quinn.
Morning, Greg. It's actually Corinne here. Sean is just in the middle of having a surfing lesson here at the minute, and we're not quite sure how this is going to go. And he's gone. So can you hear us okay there?
Yeah, he's
Greg?
Not even in the water and he's off the surfboard. What's going on?
Well, that was the lesson before he actually gets to the water. So my advice would be to stay out of the water.
I think you're quite right. The tide's out anyway, but sure. Even
the things
tide
I
take
do,
out.
I'll tell you on a Friday morning.
I know. Come here. What's going on? What I see Fionnuala's, I can't remember what they're called, drum roll or whatever. I see you on a surfboard. What's happening?
Do you have any idea where we are, Greg?
Is it Downings?
No.
Is it...
Come around the coast a little.
Yeah. Well let me see.
Down there.
Let me see. Where are you? I haven't a clue.
Beautiful day, actually. I have to
Stunning.
Say. It's like, I feel as if I'm really in Spain, but...
are you in Spain?
We're not. No, we couldn't get the expenses for that, could we? So, no, we're in Marble Hill.
Oh, beautiful. Marble Hill.
And it is absolutely stunning. And we're here for a reason. We've travelled at no expense this morning to launch our mega summer giveaway. And the theme over the last couple of weeks was, can you find the sun? Well, we've definitely found it this morning. So we have. But what we want to do, Greg, is we want to give away 20 grand. How are we going to do that, Corinne?
Well, right now, if you go to highlandradio.com and click on our mega summer draw, you can buy tickets to the draw. And you have 5 chances to win. So if you get in today, we're going to be giving away €2,500 every Friday now up until the 6th of September. And then we'll also be giving away €10,000. So you have 5 chances to win. The earlier you get in, the more chances you have.
Imagine that, Greg. €2,500 every Friday, starting with you next Friday. And then we move on to JB and around the Northwest, then David. And we finish off with Lee. And then you're going to give away a big, massive €10,000.
Wow. That'd be unbelievable. So it's 20 grand in total.
20,000 in cash
Remarkable
in total.
Stuff.
Where would you get it?
Highland Radio is exactly
Radio.
Where
and
you
where
would
do you
get
find it.
It,
Greg?
On the website? Please, we should have rehearsed this. I'm not good with surprises. Right, come here. What? I think we should continue this link whilst you're standing on the surfboard, Sean. No, we shan't, no.
Well, I'll probably fall off again. That's the only problem.
I'll tell you one thing. Some set of legs in you. Last time I seen legs like that, they were hanging out of a nest.
Do you know what? I've had enough of this man. I'm going for a swim. See you, Karine.
No, don't go. He's away up. He's,
Bye, Sean.
He's, go on,
Bye.
Keep going. Keep the camera on him.
Don't come back.
Right. No, he's still going. Right, Karine.
He's
let's
gone.
See how far
he's
he gets. So
that's
the,
it. So
the bottom line is the more, the earlier you enter. So in other words, if you go in and get your tickets now, you're in all of the draws. So you have what? One,
you're
two, three, four,
draws.
Five chances. He's literally still going. Can you
he's
zoom?
Gone.
Do we have the capability to zoom? Has he stopped?
He stopped. I did tell him to keep going, but he has. He stopped.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Corinne. But the competition, the summer mega draw, Highland Radio's mega summer draw, it's live right now. Go to the website. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Go to the website, highlandradio.com. Click on mega summer draw. And it's you can get one ticket for €10, six for 50, or 10 for 80. And as we said, the earlier you're in, the more chances you have to win.
Super stuff, Corinne. He's coming back now. I won't even try and speak to him because I'm not sure he'll be able to breathe.
He won't be able to breathe.
See you later. Thanks very much indeed. That is the team out there at Marble Hill for the launch of, and what a sunny summer morning it was, Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw, €20,000 in cash to be won. So if you get your tickets now, you'll be in with a chance to win $2,500 next Friday, the following Friday, the Friday after that, and that. And then there's a €10,000 prize on this show in a month. The earlier in, the more chances you have to win. All you have to do is buy a ticket at highlandradio.com, click on Mega Summer Draw and answer a simple question. Then choose a ticket for a tenner, six for 50, 10 for 80. The more you buy, the cheaper they get. And you're asked to not miss out on this exciting opportunity to win big with Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw. Okay, now, I don't have a jingle to play, but I'll get that for the next time I mention that. Right, so that's one avenue to win on Highland Radio. Another is the bingo, of course, and the jackpot's been won. Eileen joins us on now, online now. Eileen McCausland from Falkara. Good morning to you, Eileen.
Good morning, Greg.
Congratulations to the family. How are you all?
Oh, we're all very excited to hear.
Oh, wow.
You can't believe it.
Hi, Eileen this week won €14,000, €13,400 of a jackpot, plus the €600 daily prize. Now, Eileen, did you win it or did your hubby win it?
No, the hubby won it. The hubby won it.
That kind of means you've won it, though, doesn't it?
Yes, well, I'll look after it.
Will you make sure to put it into a safe place and don't be spending it, Eileen? Wink, wink.
I will indeed. I will.
All right. So your hubby bought the book in the Cope in Falkara. Are you regular players of Radio Bingo, Eileen?
We've been playing it from day one.
Oh, wow.
From the first time it started, yes, my husband started playing it back then.
Brilliant. And is this your first big win, Eileen?
This is our big first one, yes.
All
he got a
exciting
house away back years ago, but that was it.
Sorry, yes. one second. Well, your husband won a house.
He won, €200 or something on a house before.
I was going to say, I need to come over and rub his head. Right, sorry. Okay, you got a house, so you got £200 before. Right, that was on bingo. My heart stopped there for a second. Right, okay. And the great thing about it is, Eileen, it's a bit of fun, but you and all the others that play the bingo here on Highland Radio supporting the... you're supporting Vision Ireland, which do amazing work here in Donegal. And one of their main funding streams in this county is the money raised through bingo. And then there's people like you also, through your generosity, that win big as well. Have you managed to discuss, and I've had a couple of messages, by the way, Eileen, and I won't go into the details to embarrass you, but from family members, I think your nephew was amongst one of them. And they've just got absolutely wonderful things to say about you and say that it couldn't have happened to a nicer couple. So there's a lot of love for you out there, Eileen. People believe that you... what's your husband's name, sorry?
Micheál
are worthy winners of this. So have you discussed any spending plans here?
No, nothing yet. Well, it's our anniversary today, so...
Whoa, wow.
We'll have a wee celebration, I know, yes.
Brilliant. Can you say how long you've been married?
Yes, 45 years.
Mike, it's a roundy one. That's fantastic. 45 years. Yes. Congratulations.
45 years. Wow. Thanks, and thank you. Yes.
Oh, what's the secret?
So, just keep your mouth shut.
Two ears and one mouth and use them in that order, is it? Okay.
Yes, that's
well, listen. Well, what a beautiful anniversary present for you and the hobby, Eileen. I'm so, so pleased for you. Thank you for playing Radio Bingo. Thank you for supporting Vision Ireland and the fantastic work that they do. And as I say, from the people that have contacted me, It couldn't have happened to a nicer couple, and on such a special week for the two of you as well. 45 years married. Yes. So congratulations, lots of love to you and me all.
Thank you very much, Eileen McCausland
from Falkara, the jackpot winner. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care, Eileen.
Thank you. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Take care. €14,000 in the back pocket. Isn't that nice? €13,400 jackpot plus €600 in daily prizes. And the daily prizes, we probably don't talk about it enough because there is a daily prize and it rolls over and it gets won. And lots of people do win that. And we go through lists for now and again. Just to remind you, but as I say, the key element to this is the raising money for Vision Ireland as well, formerly NCBI, because they do great work here and support people. And unfortunately, there's people that get news of sight loss or vision impairment on quite a regular basis. Is that the lady that was just on? It's their anniversary today.
I know.
And it's the birthday.
It's their birthday tomorrow.
Oh, no, that's Fionnuala, who you hear more of later. Okay, so she never mentioned that. Eileen, you're not still there, are you?
I am still here.
It's your birthday.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
It's my birthday tomorrow. Yes.
Oh my word. That's the hat trick. So it's your birthday, your anniversary, and you've just collected €1,400.
I know. The gods are looking down on us this week.
Happy birthday to you. Is she one?
Thanks, Chris.
No. Is she two? Okay. Listen, I tell you one thing. If your mother was here and I dared ask a woman an age, I'd get the clip around my ear for a lifetime. Eileen, listen, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Fair play to you. Lovely lady. Thanks so much. Bye bye. Eileen McCausland there from Falkara. Birthday tomorrow, anniversary today, and her hubby have won €14,000. Isn't that just a wonderful, wonderful story? Seamus was in contact with us and is with me now. Are you there, Seamus?
I am, Greg, yeah.
Good to have you with us. Okay, you're highlighting an issue as it relates to getting an appointment with the PSV guard in Letterkenny Garda Station. What's the story there?
Right, well, briefly, my car for a test, July the 12th passed, and it failed a few small things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things it failed on was a little plate on the engine block that displays the vehicle identification number.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy told me to go away to the local Garda station and he gave me a form, a Garda verification form. He said that they had to check it out, verify it, and stamp the form and bring it back for the retest, and it should be okay. So I done that. I got the wee bits and pieces, the other bits and pieces sorted out. That was required for the NCT, and then I tried to contact the guards then to make an appointment, and the rest is history, basically, because I've been trying since, as I say, July, no joy at all, and I was told that I did ring through on one occasion, and the person in the office told me that there's only one guard in the county who can do this job, right?
Wow.
In the whole of the county, and they're off on leave.
And they're effectively to check that the VIN number has accidentally fallen off or been rubbed after he's faded, and that the engine matches the car and all that kind of stuff. There's only one guard that has the clearance to do that, and they're on annual leave. But your But your retest is today.
My retest is today, or I should have said was today, because I had to cancel it, obviously.
Of course.
So they gave me an appointment about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
but when I got the appointment through a text, I had to contact them and I told them that we had flights booked for that weekend and we were away. We had planned for 3 or 4 months. So I said, I'm going to have to cancel that,
mm-hmm.
but I said, I can do any other Friday, you know. And they said, that's okay. So they said, if you just answer that text that you got, it's only on just automated text, and text that information back, and the guard says I'll also try and pass that information on. And as I say, I'm still trying to get this sorted out, and I missed the test, you know.
And also, what you actually missed was presumably it was the retest. In other words, where it's cheaper that they have to recheck things. So now you're facing a full fee retest now. Whenever you might get an appointment for that.
whenever I get it, exactly, it could be another 3 or 4 months before I get that. And one of my questions is, you know, if I'm stopped today or tomorrow with no NCT, where do I stand there, you know?
I mean, I think if you, I think I know exactly where you're coming from. I think if you've got another one booked and you get and you explain it to the guards, I think you'll be okay. But that being said, you need to know what the actual official situation is.
I didn't know, because it all depends on what guard stops you to, you know. Yeah. I mean, you get there's different stories, different.
Well, there's one or two that
opinions,
can be,
you know?
There's one or two can be quite detailed.
I mean, even a cover letter from the guards or a cover letter from the. I mean, I pushed the NCT back to today. It was meant to be actually July the 26th was the actual retest. So I rang them and I explained it to them. Mm-hmm. And they said, we'll push it back now until the very latest. So today was the latest we could do it.
And the reality is, just to be clear, the car is fully roadworthy. The only issue is that the VIN number can't be clearly read. You need to get a guard to verify that everything is legit.
Yes.
You're told that there's only one guard available in the whole of the county
to do that. Yes.
You had flights booked, you couldn't make the one appointment that you got, and since then you've had no luck in getting this. And the question is firstly, now you face the increased cost of an NCT, full NCT, whenever you get the date, not the money. And also, when is this guard going to be available to check out the VIN number?
Yep, exactly.
And what is the status of, what's the legal status of you driving in the meantime?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I went to, you know, I wasn't going to court, but if you were talking to the guards and if they pulled you in, where do you stand legally? I mean, the car is, as I say, totally roadworthy, because the only other things that failed on was things like little bushings or
PV
small things, and it was, you know, sorted very quickly. So it's not a safety issue, it's just... And I'm not blaming the guards, because sure their hands are tight.
It's only one
person. Talking to them as well, and they said, look,
Yeah, go ahead, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was talking to the girl up there, and she said that, you know, it's a real big problem with them, you know. They have other, like, PSV, like they've got minibuses and stuff, looking to get sorted as well, and, you know, taxis and things like that there, and she said that they are really, you know, under pressure. Mm. And I said, are you serious? You won't have one guard in the whole county that can do this? She says, yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it is. So I was wondering if anybody, if people were aware of this, and, you know.
What was the experience?
How do you get around it, or what do you do, and where do you stand?
Well, listen, we'll make some inquiries more generally, but also we'll make some inquiries as to what the legal status is if you were stopped by the guard. By the Gardaí.
Yeah.
We'll get some guidance on that and get that to you, Seamus. But also what we're looking for is anyone else who's had a similar experience. It's a huge inconvenience.
Yeah, basically anybody else, same experience, yeah.
Seamus, listen, safe motoring. Thanks for joining us. We'll get some answers to you and get them to you, all right?
Well, that's great, Greg. Right, thanks very much.
Seamus, take care. Okay, that's Seamus there. It's a tricky one. Do you know, it's amazing. You go through life and you think you'd know pretty much all scenarios. But I've never heard of that. And now there you have it. Another thing I haven't heard of, but I wonder if it is just something someone's heard or if it's an actual thing. The text reads as follows. Hi, Greg. Have you heard anything about people being jabbed with needles whilst out in pubs recently? This listener has heard of two instances. So, as I say, I haven't heard of this before. But maybe, you know, someone was out, they felt a prick and got home and checked it and there was a little dot there or something. I don't know. What the motivation might be, why anyone might do it. It's a very, very serious thing to be found responsible for, by the way. It is not play acting or anything. This would be very serious if it's happening. But the caller wants to know, and I want to know as well, if any of you out there come across this, either you or someone you know actually being jabbed by a needle. Now, obviously, sometimes we can hear things third or fourth hand, and, you know, you wonder, did it definitely happen? I'm sure it did, if people say it did. But anyway, is there any... thing going on there? Is something happening? Let us know. 086 60 25000. Hi Greg, I'm a professional driver and would clock up 300 plus kilometres per day. Every day I'm meeting people driving with the phone in their hand, even texting at times. I've reported this to the Garda, but the process is too slow for me because I have to pull over to ring and go through three different people to get my complaint made. Is there an easier way to do this? Well, they did launch something recently. It's a Traffic Watch website. I haven't had a chance to look at it. You know, when you sort of say, right, I wouldn't mind looking at something. I didn't get a chance to look at it. I'm typing it into the computer here to see if it comes up, obviously. Yeah, Traffic Watch from Gardaí. Let's see. So maybe this could be... Traffic Watch, a partnership to road safety. Traffic Watch is a partnership approach with the public to improve driver behaviour, reducing a number of road collisions and fatalities. Members of the public can now report non-emergency traffic-related instances using the online reporting form. So let's click into that. I confirm this is not an emergency. I can confirm I'm willing to make a statement and attend court if required to do so. Right. That's you have to click that, which I wonder, would that be problematic for people? But anyway, go to just search Traffic Watch. It's the first result. You can make an online complaint about someone's driving, but you have to be willing to make a statement to Gardaí and attend court if required to do so. Before you can actually proceed to logging the complaint, you have to click that. Would that put you off, or are you happy to do that? Like, I can confirm. I'm going to click it. I can confirm I'm willing to make a statement. So, details of instance. The location, address or general location where the incident took place. You can go to the county then. The type of crime or incident, you can stick that in. There's a drop-down menu. Mobile, holding the mobile phone, etc., etc. Were you a pedestrian, motorcyclist, driver? You can give a description of the incident, and it has to be within 6 months of occurring. Then you give your name and your contact details. You have to be prepared to give a statement, though, and to go to court if necessary. But that form is there now. It's Traffic Watch. It's in association with Road Safety and Gardaí. So that's the answer to that question. Just figured it out myself live as well. So it's something I just wonder if there's one of those little buttons people won't want to click. Anne-Marie says, congratulations, Eileen McCausland, and a very happy anniversary and a happy birthday tomorrow, Mum. Oh, Anne-Marie, are you the daughter? That's lovely. Evelyn says, congratulations, Eileen and Micheál. Indeed, we share in those congratulations.